What's up, everybody, and welcome to Five Red Lights, episode 5. My name's Jesse Finver, and with me, as always, Howard Goldberg. Howie, how we doing?
We're doing all right. That was finally an exciting race. We had a lot of overtaking. Bahrain delivered as usual. Oscar dominated. Lando made some mistakes. George was right there, despite a mountain of issues. So... Yeah, we got a lot to discuss.
Yeah, a lot to discuss, a lot to talk about. It was a fun race. We actually got to race this race. We got to drive on Bahrain. We went to an F1 simulator, which was pretty fun before this race. So that was great.
Want to remind everyone who won?
You won. You beat me. Yes. But our lap times were our best lap times were pretty close. They're pretty close.
It's consistency that matters. Just ask Lando.
That's right. So, as you mentioned, dominance from Oscar Piastri. He is now firmly in the Drivers' Championship race, 3 points behind Lando. A pretty dominant win at Bahrain. I think we should start with Oscar. And how impressive he was. I mean, we're going to talk about Lando plenty, but what was your initial takeaway from this performance from Piastri?
He just didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
A very good drive in the best car, and that's going to get you the win. That's all he has to do. You don't have to do anything spectacular in that McLaren. You just need to not make mistakes. And that's what he was able to do this weekend. He put his head down, he got in the car, he drove, didn't make mistakes, didn't see any track limits from him, didn't see any lockups from him. So he didn't really give anybody a chance to sneak through a door because the door was never open.
And as we've been saying, we've been begging him, you know, if you want to be, you know, considered the top guy at McLaren, you need to qualify like the top guy at McLaren. And this week he did that, and he went wire to wire. He, you know, P1 and then finished in first. It was a dominant performance from Oscar. I was very impressed. This is what we want to see out of him. If he really wants to make this a decision for McLaren, which we'll get to, you know, later in the episode. But I was very impressed with him. Like you said, no mistakes. And that's what you want from your top team. You know, this was an improvement from Japan, where we saw Max kind of come out of nowhere, and we were kind of like, is Red Bull going to be kind of back in the mix with things, and Max kind of dragging this car to a first place finish, and Oscar finishing in third. We were like, all right, was he right to be asking to pass Lando last week?
I mean, he backed up his claims.
And he came out
and did what he had to do after saying all that stuff.
He was saying, like, I have the speed, I can catch Max. And this week, he backed it up, as you said. He finished P1 and then went wire to wire. Good for Oscar. Again, keep on qualifying first. Keep on beating Lando, and you're going to eventually be the guy that McLaren's going to be like, all right, like, you know, if we're 1-2 and Oscar's behind Lando, they're going to put you, Oscar, ahead of Lando if you're ahead of him in the points. You're shaking your head.
They're not going to tip the scales. I'm sorry. They're not. They've said it so many times that we have
say that all they drivers, want,
we're going to let them go on race. And unless there's an outside influence threatening the Constructors' Championship, they don't give a damn what happens in the drivers. They really don't. McLaren cares about the Constructors. Red Bull is probably the only team that prioritizes the Drivers' Championship over the Constructors.
Well, they want to keep Max.
That's just how it is. It's just how it is.
Yeah, they want to keep Max. So,
well, no, it's the Red Bull mission. Is Red Bull got into Formula One as a vehicle to promote their sports energy drinks. And the World Drivers' Champion gets a lot more notoriety than the World Constructors' Champion, right?
Yeah.
When you think through the years, and you think back of the champion, the first champion you think of is the driver. You don't think
who won, like, the, yeah. That makes sense.
When you think back to 2021, you're not like, oh, right, yeah, that was Mercedes constructor year. No, that's the year Max won his first championship.
Right.
That's the year that Red Bull finally beat Mercedes. Except they actually didn't, because Mercedes still won the constructors.
Yeah.
It's just the perception.
All right. So, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. But still, there's going to be a point where they're going to have to make a decision, I think. I see what you're saying. I still think they're going to have to make a decision at some point. We can talk about that after we talk about Lando, though. This is what it's all about. I mean, Lando came in as the favorite for the entire season, and he just has not lived up to the billing that has been placed upon him so far.
And I think a general sentiment is that if him and Oscar both hook up their laps, probably more times than not, Lando is going to be faster. I think that's kind of a general sentiment. It's that Oscar seems capable of connecting his laps, hooking up his laps more often. And
more consistency.
Exactly. And over the course of a season, it's just this pro. It's, we've talked too many times already about Lando talked about him in China making mistakes that took him out of position to challenge for a win. Lost a bunch of points to Oscar there after Oscar finished P9 in Australia. And he's now 3 points behind Lando because Lando's made mistakes.
Yeah.
And when I talk about those mistakes, I'm talking about at the start, he went from P6 to P3 in the first three corners. That was blown away because he was fractionally over his grid box. And it didn't give him any advantage. He was just over the line, so he needed to be penalized. He wasn't moving before the lights went out. So he would have still been up in P3 if he was in his grid box. So it's just like stupid mistakes that now he had to take a 5-second penalty. And so after the first round of pit stops, he was back behind Charles, or I think Charles was close enough to him on those medium tires, fresher medium tires, that he was able to push and he overtook him. And so when the safety car came out, he ended up being behind Charles and he had to overtake him again on the road.
Yeah.
And in trying to do so, he locked up going into turn one, lost the chance to overtake in turn four on that same lap, which is as good, if not better, of a overtaking zone, because you don't have to worry about giving the person you're overtaking DRS down to the next corner. So he then gets stuck behind Charles for 3, 4, 5 more laps and completely blows any chance he has of catching and passing George at the end. So, I mean, if he has a clean race, we're talking about him and Oscar fighting for a win. Because they pit, he probably passes George pretty quickly after that, if he has no 5-second penalty. And it's a completely different outlook.
So you think McLaren is comfortable with letting them go head-to-head? They've come out and said that they're going to let them race. I feel like that's a dangerous. That's kind of a little risky.
They're not. So no, this is the thing. They're not ever going to swap position just to do it. They might tell them not to overtake each other.
Haven't they done that with Lando and Oscar before?
They might tell them, guys, bring the cars home. We need the points. Bring the cars home. And
they've done that with Lando before, though, where Lando was in second, like, and Oscar was in ahead of him, or whatever it was. They were, Oscar was ahead of Lando. This is last season. I can't remember what race it was, but this, unless I'm misremembering.
You're talking about Hungary last year, because you're talking about Hungary last year when Oscar was leading the race, Oscar was first, Lando was second, and McLaren pitted Lando first and undercutted Oscar with Lando. And so the team took away a win from Oscar through strategy, and it clearly wasn't right. The first car, yeah. The first car on the road always comes in first. So they weren't going to let him lose a race win. It ended up being his first win as well of a feature race. He had won, I think, the sprint in Belgium already the year before, but last year was his first feature race win. And so they weren't going to make him lose a win because they had done something to affect it. But if the cars are on the road, independent of strategy, in first and second, they're not going to swap them because of championship order.
All right. That's
that, but yes, they did make Lando swap back a position for Oscar. And it was very contentious because after they asked Lando, I'm pretty sure he went and put in a fastest lap. Just to like prove a point of this is on you guys. I should have a win. Because I mean, like, if the strategy Oscar comes in, then Lando comes in, very, very well could have happened that Lando passes Oscar on the road.
Right.
You don't know. So they did in that situation take it out of the hands. And I think that's partly why at this point they're so unwilling to do something like that. Because they saw the repercussions of it. And they got crushed by everybody for having to swap positions that late and affect the race win.
Plus, you want to keep both drivers happy, right? You don't want to, like, you have two. Yeah, that's the other thing.
The second that you start, because they've been telling both of these guys that they're number one drivers, the second that you start telling them to move over for the other guy, they feel like a number two. And they're going to be out of there because there's another team that would be willing to make them a number one. I bet you that.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how they hit, because it feels like they're going to be going back and forth all season. And you say that they don't care about the driver's championship, but when push comes to shove, right. But when push comes to shove at the end. Yeah. So when push comes to shove at the end, I guess they're going to let them race. But if, you know, I'm looking at the driver's standings right now, you know, Max is 5 points back of Oscar. He's, 8 points back of Lando. George is at 63 points. Ferrari could rip off a couple of wins and get back in there. Probably not based on what we've seen so far, but you know, George has been having a heck of a season and he could hang around a little bit, especially if they win next week. It'll be interesting to see how they handle it. I'm looking forward to seeing how they go move forward with this. Is that all we got on McLaren? Is anything else you wanted to touch on?
That's all I've got for now.
All right. Well, let's talk about George then. Cause he had a heck of a race. I think that he's been one of the more impressive guys. And this is not saying a lot. It's obvious he's been impressive. He's in fourth place in the drivers. And I feel like Mercedes just didn't have crazy, like, not to say they didn't have good, big expectations. They always have big expectations. But coming into the season, you know, Toto made a decision to make him the guy. And he's really lived up to it.
To be fair, people have been expecting him to be the Mercedes future for 4 years. So,
right, and it's a matter.
He better step up when he gets the chance.
There's a difference between the expectation and then following through, and he really has been following through. I've been really impressed with him. A second place finish. You were telling me that you expect big things from him in Saudi, or at least just Mercedes in general. So, shout out George Russell. I'm looking forward to seeing how he continues to, you know, put in good laps and good races. And I'm rooting for him to, you know, I root for McLaren, but I'm definitely rooting for George Russell to, you know, stick around and make this an interesting driver's championship, at least, because based on what you're thinking, I think he's
the best chance.
You think Max is not going to hang around.
I think Red Bull is in big trouble, and maybe not necessarily the car itself or Max, but the team around him. I mean, they had another emergency meeting in Bahrain, which is either the second or third this year that they've had. And I mean, that's just a bad sign. It's the fourth round of the season. So when there's not harmony at the factory, it's really hard for drivers to perform, I think. And Max in particular, we know, is not very much a fan of all the off-track drama. He just wants to get in the car and drive. So it's hard to tell what kind of effect this could have. I mean, I think we all know Max has an incredible ability to compartmentalize and just put things aside. And when it comes time to get in the car and drive, he's able to do it. So that also makes it harder to judge what the impact of this could be. But I think it really opens the door for McLaren to run away with it and Mercedes to be that second challenger, that first challenger.
So we've talked about this a little bit, but if Max drops out of the top three, does that clause open up in his contract where he can just dip and be like, all right, I'm out of here?
That's what it sounds like. I mean, I haven't read his contract, so I can't say for sure, but that's what it sounds like based on all the reports.
Right. So,
and also real quick back to George before that's in the interview completely. The fact that he finished second in that race is kind of a miracle. His DRS wasn't really working because of his transponder not working. So because his transponder wasn't working, the car couldn't be tracked around the circuit. And as a result, they didn't know when his car was getting to the detection points, or the activation points. So it wasn't able to be automatically activated. As a result, he had to manually do it. And part of this caused him to inadvertently, or he used it when he shouldn't have. And he gained like 0.02 of a second. Ended up giving back almost 0.3 as a result to make sure that he wouldn't get penalized later. And that is what ultimately helped him keep second place in the stewards room after the race. But in addition to that, he had electronic systems failures. Basically, like his dashboard was going in and out. Like he was losing the function of some buttons on his steering wheel, and also had brake-by-wire malfunctions. So his braking wasn't at optimal capacity. So like
anything else,
it's legitimately like a miracle that he was in like certain respects driving blind in that car.
Yeah.
With the electronic system failure. So what he did was incredibly impressive and just reinforces, aside from McLaren, I really think he's that next challenger this year. It's Max is incredible, but it's hard to imagine him being able to consistently deliver magical performances to outperform that car.
It's pretty crazy thinking, like, so Lewis leaves the year that Mercedes finally kind of brings back a super competitive car.
Yeah.
And he goes to Ferrari thinking like it's going to be like the one.
He went to try to get that eighth championship. He thought Ferrari. And at the end of last year, it looked like he made the right choice because after summer break, Ferrari was the fastest team. They scored the most points. They went from, I think, third by a margin to second in the championship. And so it looked like he made the right choice. And this year they showed up and Mercedes said, we think we're going to be good in 2026 with that new engine. But let's have one last hurrah this year and try to win some.
Yeah.
Games, right. And I mean, good for them.
Lewis is only at 25 points right now. They're nearly 100
they're,
behind.
Well, they're disqualifications. McLaren. You have to remember yeah. their disqualification in Australia.
Yeah, that definitely.
They lost decent points, both of them, him and Charles.
That definitely, that was at least fit. Like that was around 15 points, I think, that they lost. But still, they're very far behind McLaren and the rest of the field right now. The upper level. Yeah. So, shout out George. Great race. I didn't even realize he had all those electrical failures. That makes it even more impressive. Just an impressive start from Mercedes in general. Other than George, there's a couple other guys that we wanted to talk about. Once again, Haas is making me look stupid. Ollie getting in the points.
Me too, because I had him 10th too, but you definitely look dumber.
Yeah.
Having them below 50 feet of shit.
Yeah. They're in fifth place right now in the constructors. With only 20 points. I mean, it's gonna be them and Williams, it looks like, right there, for that fifth spot. But they've been pretty average, which is way better than either of us thought they were going to be.
Yeah, I mean, we got to give credit to Ayao Komatsu, their team principal. He took over for Gunther Steiner in what I think everybody would call a surprising dismissal at the end of 2023. And I think one of the things that had been plaguing Haas for a long time is that they were able to qualify and then the race would start and their tires just couldn't hold up. They would degrade way too fast. And as a result, they couldn't maintain position. So that made it impossible for them to score points. What we saw last year from Haas was some incredible qualifying efforts from K-Mag and Nico. And throughout the season, as the season went on and on and on, which was Ayao's first year, they gradually were able to maintain position better and better and better, and their degradation problems improved. And the upgrades that they started bringing to the track started working right away. And so it's a real credit to what he was able to do with that team that had been underachieving for a number of years. And for now, with two new drivers in the team, to be able to start and be overachieving what the expectations were for this year from many people, I mean, that's great leadership. And I mean, you just have to give credit where it's due.
Yeah. And you got Esteban Ocon in the top 10 of the Drivers' Championship with 14 points. Ollie Bearman with only 6 and 13th, but he had a 10th place finish this week, and he had a really great drive. So, I mean, you know, sometimes in sports, there's teams, there's drivers, you have expectations, they meet them, they don't meet them. Haas is definitely exceeding expectations across the board. And I think that I owe them an apology. I owe them...
say that one a little louder.
Quite the apology. And so, Haas, I am sorry for now. There's still a lot of races left where you can just be what we expected. But we have a decent sample size now. And I think
it's Sauber at the bottom.
Yeah, I think that this is who Haas is going to be this year. They're going to be fighting for that fifth or sixth spot. And good for them.
It ended up being quite a battle between the Racing Bulls, Haas, and Williams.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, so, and Aston Martin's there. I don't think, I don't know. I mean,
I might get crushed for saying this. I don't know about Fernando anymore. I think I think he's kind of there. I think he's ready to retire.
Yeah.
I hate saying that. He's an icon, but I just don't see it from him anymore.
Well, you know, when they had the clone of the Mercedes car a couple of years ago, and he was driving really well in a rocket ship. They haven't had that for a couple of years now, and the car is clearly just not.
You mean the Red Bull?
Well, I thought it was the Mercedes that they cloned.
No, that was the pink Mercedes.
Oh, the pink Mercedes.
That was when it was Racing Point. They were thinking back in the bad days.
Yes. But
that was the first year that Lawrence owned the team. That the pink Mercedes happened. And then what happened was they hired Dan Fallows from Red Bull. And so it was essentially like a green Red Bull first half of that year.
And they, it's just not the same. It's not the same. And I don't think you'll get crushed for saying that Fernando has been kind of just not who he's been throughout his career. I mean, he's old at this point and he's not in a very fast car.
Fernando fans don't like hearing that, though. I don't
I'm
care.
Sure.
They don't care that he's old. They don't like hearing it. Anyway, I think that another big story of the weekend is Alpine scoring.
Yes.
Pierre Gasly getting a couple points in Alpine. He scored in Japan?
No, you said your big prediction for Japan at the end. I coaxed it out of you. You said, yeah, Alpine's finally going to get points. And they didn't. This is the week they got points. And
quite frankly, 4 weeks into the four rounds into the season and every team has points. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, I think Sauber was the biggest surprise so far, right? Them getting what they have 6 points. They got that all in one race, right?
Yeah, that all came in Australia.
Yeah, so they may be sitting at 6 points for a while.
I think Pierre Gasly had a hell of a race.
Yeah. Pierre had a hell of a race, though. He was
Pierre had a hell of a qualifying.
He had a hell of a qualifying for sure.
And did a great job hanging on during the race because there were a lot of faster cars behind him.
Yeah. What did he come into qualifying? He started...
He qualified fifth.
So he dropped, what, two spots? He dropped two...
I think he dropped behind spots. Max and Lewis.
Yeah.
Big whoop.
Yeah. Good for Pierre. I mean, we know that Pierre has...
He has that
dog in him. He definitely is one of the more underrated drivers.
Mm-hmm. And another driver in the points, second Red Bull driver, Yuki Tsunoda.
That's right.
He's a ninth. It was a ninth place, but it's the first time we've seen a Red Bull second driver anywhere near the points this year. So good for him.
Already working out, switching out Liam Lawson.
And in a weekend where Max struggled with the car and finished P6, that's a very good result, you would have to say.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very clear that this was the right move to switch Yuki for Liam.
I don't think at this point anybody can argue that.
Yeah.
I mean, Liam's also struggled back in that Racing Bull, which you don't like to see. I almost wonder if this was just a tough weekend for that car and that team, because Isaac, who has been lighting it up so far, finished P13, only 8 seconds ahead on the road of Liam. And they were both almost a minute behind the lead. So I almost wonder if it was just a tough weekend for the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think you don't have to assume, you don't have to guess that. I think that it's, if they're finishing a minute back.
P13 and P16.
Definitely tough for them. Lawson, not great. And Red Bull, I mean,
while they have
this emergency meeting, it is good to see Yuki get points for them. But moving forward, there's definitely has to be some concern about this car and the potential of Max dropping out of the top three and what that could mean for his future there. I can't remember a time where he wasn't in the top three in the Drivers' Championship since I've started watching the sport.
Because there hasn't been.
Right. So, like, him dropping out, I don't think he's immediately going to be like, all right, yeah, I'm in fourth place now. I want to leave. Signing the papers now. Like,
I don't think it's going to be because he's in fourth place. I think it's because it's because of the litany of things that have led them to that position. I mean, doesn't take a rocket scientist to add up all the things that led them here. You know, first you had key technical departures, Dan Fallows, Rob Marshall, Adrian Newey. Then you had Jonathan Wheatley, their sporting director, leave the team, instrumental in helping Max win that championship in 2021 in the whole safety car debacle. He was key on the radio with the race director. You have the whole Newey scandal. The whole Horner scandal.
Yep.
Sorry, Adrian, not you. The whole Horner scandal. You have Horner and Marco butting heads constantly, struggling for power in the organization since Dietrich Mateschitz died. So, I mean, there's so many things that...
Plus Liam, like, changed. Choosing Checo, so struggling... Liam struggling, then they switch to Yuki. Like, there's just like this, the drama of the car and being unreliable.
About this team that have changed from when it was the dominant Red Bull team that we think of, and it's hard to imagine Max maintaining loyalty to this madness too much longer.
Yeah, if I was him, I would not be happy at all right now. I would be very frustrated. I would be definitely thinking about leaving. I can't lie.
I mean, his agent and Marco had a blowout argument in the garage after the race.
There's just better situations out there, I feel like, where there's less drama and you can have just as fast of a car.
And you talk about, sorry to cut you off again, but you talk about drama, and rumors are now that George is about to get a 2-year contract extension from Mercedes. So, like, is that the seat that Max wants? Because if it is, it could be gone. Or does he want the Aston Martin? We have no idea. We have no way of knowing. Because Max,
why would he go to Aston Martin? Why would he go to Aston Martin?
Belief in Adrian Newey. That's the only reason to go there. Because he's taking the lead on the 2026 car. So the only reason you would go there is if you believe in Adrian Newey. And if I'm Max Verstappen, I have no reason not to.
Right. But still, I mean, just the track record of management there. And I mean, I know Newey's in charge, but like, do you want to work for Lawrence? Like,
I mean, I think Lawrence is a businessman and knows if I can have Max Verstappen, there are certain things I'll do differently.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know.
I also don't think Lawrence is a bad team owner. I don't think that at all. I think he's a great team owner. He gives his team the resources. The factory that he built in Silverstone seems like it's incredible. Top edge cutting.
It just feels
top of the line, like,
right. It just feels, I mean, like, I don't know, like sticking with Lance for so long and the struggles that they've had since he's taken over.
Lance is different from any pay driver in Formula One history. He's stuck around a little longer, perhaps, and his father is the owner of a team, not just a sponsor giving hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yes, somebody else could easily be in that seat. But, like, at the end of the day, is that the battle we're going to pick, really?
No. You're right on that front. But you understand my hesitation, though, with Aston Martin. I mean, I feel like that's
yeah, really justified. Because they're not a top team, and they don't have the track record of being a top team ever.
Right.
I mean, in the history of the lineage of that team, you have to go back, like, 30 years to when it was Jordan to when they were winning races. So
all right, outside of Aston Martin and Mercedes, What are the other
Ferrari
potential
has,
options?
Ferrari has Lewis and Charles. That's
right.
Locked up. I don't think people even know how long Charles is signed for. They just said multi-year extension. They didn't give like a amount. They just said multi-year extension and that it was the longest in Ferrari history. Anyway, so I
not
mean,
Ferrari. It's not going to be Mercedes because if George is getting re-signed, they're not going to move on from Kimi, and Max isn't going to want to go somewhere where they have a number one driver like George. You're not staying at Red Bull most likely.
I don't think Max gives a shit who's at the team, to be honest. Because
that's true. He'll be Max, the best wherever he goes.
Max knows he's faster than anybody. Even if he's not, Max knows that he is.
Right. Okay, so then right, so
McLaren, I don't see being an option just because of their driver lineup. They seem happy. And what other teams would you go to if you're Max? Right?
Like the Newey connection makes sense. He wouldn't go to like Cadillac. Like they're gonna be brand new.
That's the reason. I mean, that would be a hell of a move. Holy cow.
Right, but they're not gonna get him. He'd be crazy to go there.
Could you imagine though coming into the sport and although would he? I think something that's going so under the radar. Pat Simmons is Cadillac Andretti's chief technical officer. He's like their technical chief.
Okay.
Do you know who Pat Simmons is?
I don't.
Pat Simmons is the former Formula One chief technical officer. He is the person who wrote and published the 2026 regulations. That's the guy who's leading the charge and building Cadillac's car.
Okay, that's pretty enticing. But again, no track record. He can just stay at Red Bull. What if he just stays at Red Bull? What if he like falls in love with the new like engine that they're building?
What if?
You know? I think that this is the most fascinating storyline the rest of the season, honestly.
I think if he stays at Red Bull looks a lot different.
What do you
mean? It's not the same Red People are going to be different. It's not going to be the same Red Bull that we see right now if he stays.
Like, you think Christian's gone? Like,
I don't know. I don't know who goes, but it's not going to be the same.
I mean, neither of us are insiders. We don't have, we're not, this is just all speculation, of course.
I mean, I could see Horner, Marco, or both being gone.
Who's in charge? So, is there anybody that, who signs Horner's paychecks?
Dietrich Mateschitz's son took over as the owner of Red Bull.
Couldn't he just like
Philip?
Like, if I'm him, I go to Max and I'm like, what's it going to take? Talk to me. Like, tell me what you want. Anything you want. Do you want to be the team principal? You can be the player coach. You know, like, I think
part of the problem is that Max's allegiance has always been to Helmut. And over the last couple months, I'm not 100% sure that he's still so loyal to him. And it feels like Helmut has done so many things over the last few months that have almost distanced himself from Max.
Maybe he sees the writing on the wall.
I wouldn't want to be in that building.
Yeah. Well, I think this is going to be the most interesting storyline throughout the entire season, off the track, and honestly on the track, because him dropping out of the top three, which could happen as soon as Saudi Arabia, could trigger a whole bunch of drama. So we'll see.
Although it will be very hard.
It will be hard
because it's a 6-point gap between Max and George. The only way that could happen is if George wins the race, I think. Because I mean, I guess
not necessarily. I mean,
you're right. Not necessarily, but
he can come in. George comes in second. Max comes in fifth. and that he passes him. You know,
I think that's less realistic.
Or first and third, or somehow. You know, like,
well, right. No, that's what I'm saying is just third and with sixth. with the gaps in how F1 scores.
And, but it, so maybe it's, maybe it's not Saudi Arabia, but it is like
definitely by Miami it could happen.
The point is that it can happen in Saudi Arabia. It's possible that Mac could drop out of the top.
Yes, very unlikely. It's possible.
It's entirely possible.
I think by the end of Miami Grand Prix, which is after Saudi, that very well I think will likely be the case.
Let's talk about Saudi, because that's the next race. Yeah. So let's go to Saudi Arabia.
High speed Monaco.
Yeah, this is an interesting track.
It's a great circuit. It's been a great race in a bunch of years. There's
a lot of high speed
zones, three DRS zones, a lot of high speed corners, fast and flowing, tight walls, tight right around the circuit.
It only looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 turns where they need to be, like, you need to really use your brakes, like, heavily.
Yeah, you come to turn one and the final corner, definitely two of them. There's
turn 1, 2, 4,
but you have kind of, it's not quite a hairpin.
13.
It's a wide. Let me find those.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. So turn one is heavy brake, turn two, turn four, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 are like not heavy brake, but like it's definitely like you can't be heavy on the gas. Turn 13 is heavy braking zone, and then it's a almost nearly a straight shot all the way to turn the final turn 27, which then is another straight shot.
Yeah, so to your point about 13 isn't a heavy braking zone. 13 is more of like a medium.
Yeah, medium, it's definitely more rounded.
But you can overtake around the outside of there. So it's still definitely an overtaking zone. 22 is a kind of a braking zone.
Yeah, because then you accelerate and it leads into a DRS zone there.
Yeah, but you can overtake into 1, 4, 13. Not going to see many into 22, but I think it's possible. And then 27.
And you can overtake, I mean, all along the back side of the track.
Right, there's two DRS straights. Right.
Yeah.
That's why it's possible to overtake into 22, despite it not being a huge overtaking zone, like huge braking zone.
So, looking ahead at this race, you got to imagine McLaren's going to be the favorite.
Yeah, I think McLaren and Mercedes. I think McLaren and George are going to be very close. I mean, heck, even Kimi can probably throw it around here pretty well. This is a track they used in the junior formulas, so he's familiar with it.
Do you expect – So you have high expectations for McLaren and Mercedes.
It's also fairly hard to run away at this track because of there being three DRS zones.
Yeah.
So that naturally it could lend itself to either good overtaking action or a lot of DRS train. So could go either way.
What about Max? This is
Max, is incredible in high speed corners. Just the way he drives lends itself to being good in high speed corners. He's just aggressive like that. So I think obviously he does well here.
It's a matter of where he qualifies though.
Top five, I'd say probably. Yeah.
He needs to be in that top five.
I think
a good start.
Yeah. I think he's in between Mercedes and Ferrari in the pecking order here.
Okay. All right, so you think Ferrari's in the struggle?
Yeah. I think Ferrari's just a little unknown at the moment. I don't know if...
What's going on with your boys?
I just don't know if they know what's working with the car.
Right.
Grade package in Bahrain didn't seem like it worked all that well. I don't think that's actually crazy to say. I don't think it worked well at all. And it's hard to imagine Lewis coming to a track that's surrounded by walls very closely and being confident in that car that he hasn't looked all that confident in elsewhere. So if Ferrari's going to do anything here in Jeddah, I think that hope is going to rely on Charles.
It's interesting because we have, every time we've doubted a team or a driver, they've responded. But the one thing that's been
consistent, you're right. I think Ferrari's going to be trash. I think that I don't think they know what they're doing. I think
Ferrari, but I was going to say, the one thing that's been consistent, though, is that every time that we've bashed Ferrari or been down on Ferrari, it's for good reason, and then they haven't responded. So they're, you could say that we're on the money. You could also say that they're very due to have a good race.
I think at the moment, they're just predictable, which unfortunately at the moment is not a good thing for them.
They did have, I remember the announcers praising their track strategy.
That
in Bahrain.
One thing, that's the one thing they did well. Yeah.
Yeah.
The double medium hard was a good strategy. They were able to push hard pretty much throughout that middle stint. They were incredibly fast.
Yeah. They finally, we finally saw some good management from Ferrari.
They just,
maybe they can bring that momentum over.
Pace, really, I mean, their race pace really has been okay this year. It's just been so hard to overtake this season, and their quali pace has been nowhere.
It'll be interesting. You mentioned dirty and clean air last week, and this track looks like there's going to be a lot of DRS train and a lot of, would you say it would be dirty air on this, on the, for this race? So overtaking, yeah, and getting a slipstream, not going to be easy.
I think that with the way, so first off, it's not a high deg circuit because it's so new. It was built 5 years ago. And the surface isn't very abrasive. So tire deg isn't too bad, which does help with dirty air, because if when you have the surface degrading your tires and the dirty air heating them up, it's kind of a double whammy.
Yeah.
So with not too much deg due to the surface, it will help in that sense. And also with the way the DRS zones are laid out, you can kind of back yourself out a little bit in that first sector that it's twisty and windy. And then as you come up through like 9, 10, 11, 12, and on the way down to 13, you kind of close yourself back up so you can make it within a second at that first detection zone and get DRS down the backstretch. So I think it's definitely more manageable here than in some other places.
This is a night race, right?
Yes.
Cool. So we'll be able to watch this during the
afternoon. It's the other thing that helps with the temperatures in dirty air.
That'll be good. So, all right. I'm going to predict McLaren 1-2 here. They have the best car. I'm going to keep on until they prove otherwise. And I'm going to go with Oscar coming away with this one again.
Okay. I'm going to go Lando.
You're going to go Lando? Yeah, I think Oscar is just...
Lando, Oscar, George.
I think he's going to start to assert himself a little bit here. I'm not going to doubt him anymore.
I like that. I mean, I think after the first weekend, I was on the record of watch out for Oscar.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, he's cold-blooded. So I would not be surprised at all if Oscar comes out and puts down another perfect weekend.
Well,
my podium prediction is Lando, Oscar, George.
Yeah, I got Oscar, Lando, George.
And I've got Kimi coming fourth.
Yeah?
Kimi 4, Max 5.
I'm not going to put Kimi fourth.
Suit yourself.
No, I know. I he's amazing. It's just he's still a rookie. I'm not going to take him just yet. Max will come in fourth. Oh, you know what? No, I'm gonna put Charles in fourth and Max in fifth. I'm gonna put a couple of my eggs in the Ferrari basket here, and we'll see if that that gets us anywhere with Ferrari. So, any final thoughts, or is that all we got for this week?
That's all I've got for this week.
Yeah.
No final thoughts.
All right, folks. That's it for us.
Actually, one final thought. I was watching F2.
Okay. This weekend at Bahrain, you do.
And somebody stuck out to me in the field. And he was driving a papaya car. His name is Alex Dunn. D-U-N-N-E. Alex Dunn. And I posted on our threads about this. He was making these incredibly daring late breaking moves that reminded me of the Daniel Ricciardo that came into the sport from 2014 to 2018 when he was at Red Bull and just blew people away with how bold he was and how late he was on the brakes and took what he thought was his. And it was really impressive to watch. He did it in the sprint race and came back through in the feature race and won that one. So yeah, I was really impressed with him. Not sure where he can possibly go at the moment, with McLaren blocked up by both Oscar and Lando, but I mean, it's possible we see him in their IndyCar team or Formula E, but he was really impressive to me.
All right. That's a name to keep an eye on. Alex Dunn. All right, folks, that's it for us this week. Make sure you subscribe and like, give us 5 stars on YouTube. Give us a rating, a comment, anything. Subscribe on Spotify and Apple. And thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week after Saudi Arabia. Talk about Saudi. And then, Miami is 2 weeks after that. So that'll be great. All right, folks, that's it for us. Peace.